Sports fans, welcome to today's Monday show. This is the 20th of June. It is 2022. Time marches on. There is no stopping it. It is inexorable. It is just, it's a long, beautiful, flowing river, broad as it is, heading toward the delta of the supernatural, if you will. We don't know. Just as Siddhartha said, your life is sometimes a wide river. Sometimes it's a creek. Sometimes it's a little trickling stream. Sometimes it's a, you know, what are you trying to do now? What are you trying to do? Gotta drink some water. Trying to intro the show is what I'm trying to do. And here it is. Jay Santos. This is from June of 2020. Jay, with guest Dr. Jim Sadler, discussing Phil's time in Florida. This would have been my first trip to Florida for Jackie's birthday, as a matter of fact. Plus, a report from Sub-Commander Gleason. Well, I'll be a son of a gun. From 2020, the broad shoulders of a river.
Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police. How do you do?
Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police. Yes, in 1996, Major Elvis Newton beckoned Jay to his home in Torrance, California, and described to him his dream of a Citizens Auxiliary Police, a volunteer police agency made up of regular people like you or me that would take a peek over the shoulder of the police to ensure that the police were not creating mayhem, criminality, and doing their jobs. Jay Santos.
Yeah, I tell you something right now. You know, I remember those days like it was yesterday when Major Elvis Newton told me that his vision for Citizens Auxiliary Police was to create a auxiliary police force that would take a peek over the shoulder of the police and take a peek at what they're doing, you know. And now they're saying the police are doing... See, it's getting kind of hairy out there. It was a time when we formed the Citizens Auxiliary Police, we could do what we want to do. And what we want to do was to do flare drops, do cone-ins, do flare-ins and spread-outs. We wanted to spread out and fade in. Those are basic Citizens Auxiliary Police maneuvers. Other thing we want to do was do a three-step takedown. We wanted to huddle in and move out. And that way we could go and eavesdrop on things that are being said in like sports bars and, you know, it's just everywhere. Let's take a phone call.
Why?
Because I said, well, I want to take a phone call. Hey, Easy, how are you? And welcome to the Citizens Auxiliary Police listening post here for today. I'm Jay Santos.
Hey, Jay. Are you aware of the problem that they're having over on Pendacock, in the Pendacock homes where the garbage cans have been turned over 4 days running? They've been turned over.
Whereabouts at, you say?
Hey, over in the Pendacock homes. It's a brand new home settlement or a subdivision, what they call it.
Well, it's a brand new,
Right, it's a settlement.
Yeah, it's an area of homes. I don't know what they call it, but...
Right. Well, I don't want to spend a lot of time doing that, figuring out what they call it, when I've got bigger fish to fry. So that garbage cans has been turned over there. You're aware of that?
I did not know, no.
Okay. 4 days running.
Well, here's a question. Why are the garbage cans out 4 days in a row?
Why are the garbage cans out 4 days in a row? Because I'm waiting for my garbage to get picked up. What is...
Well, so it was not picked up?
My garbage was never picked up, no. And so someone came along and turned the can over.
Right, so why wasn't your garbage picked up?
I don't know why it wasn't picked up. But because, all right, let's say that I had it out. Are you trying to say I had it on the wrong day, is that it?
It sounds to me like you had your garbage out on the wrong day. And
all right, well, let's say I did have my garbage out on the wrong day. Big whoop, okay?
Well, big whoop, except you're tempting a lot of the young people. You know, some of these kids...
I know all about kids, and I know one other thing. Garbage is in a can for a reason. It's to be picked up and to be taken and put into a can, into a big dump truck, and taken to the dump site and dumped. And my garbage sat on my driveway and kept getting turned over.
Well, so you got a full can of garbage, and it's getting turned over by some kids in a neighborhood.
Well, I don't. Is that who you think it is?
That's what it sounds like to me.
Well, I'm wondering if you're going to do something about it.
Yes. take your can off the street and have it out there on a night it's supposed to have garbage picked up.
Take my can off the street. Say that again?
Take your can off the street.
Okay.
What, are you writing it down?
Yes, I want to get it right. Take the can. Here, my wife's right here. Write this down.
Take the can off the street.
Take the can off the street.
And put it out on the street when a garbage gun be picked up on the right day.
And put it on the street when a garbage gun be picked up. What is it again?
On the right day.
On the right day. My wife is saying, well, we had it out on a Monday night, and they pick it up on Friday.
So why? So you had it out how many nights in a row?
We had it out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I guess we didn't put out Friday, huh? All right. My wife's confirming we didn't have it out on Friday.
All right. So you want me to go around and worry about a bunch of punk kids?
Well, listen, you know, whether I had my can out on the street, if you'll pardon the expression. Hey, honey, the only time I've ever used the term can out on the street was when I was talking to my wife, Sylvia, about some of the jobs she used to have. When, ow, ow, she just stabbed my fucking thigh with a ballpoint pen. God.
Hey, everybody cool over there.
I'm trying to do it.
You know, I'm going to be, you want me to send a sub-commander over?
Yeah, I think I need a sub-commander. Well, gee, all right, forget it, my wife.
I mean, you're the one who made a reference to your wife putting her can on the street.
I did say she put her can on the street, yeah. Don't do it again. Oh.
That's technically domestic violence.
I know. Drop dead, will you?
All right, so there's an example right there. There's a guy going to waste my time with his nonsense about his can getting turned over. Put the can out on the street. The wife takes that personally. Of course she's going to take it personally. Go put your can out on the street. What do you think is going to happen to the average man in this country when he says something like that around his wife? You got that right. Next thing you know, and he got stabbed in the thigh with a ballpoint pen. And you heard it happen on these airwaves here on the Jay Santos, you know, show.
The Jay Santos Report. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Chris Kering. If you want to be a Citizens Auxiliary Policeman just like Jay, you can send away for your own pith helmet. Send away for your own pith helmet, your own Bermuda shorts, and yes, your own wingtip shoes. The entire Citizens Auxiliary Police outfit can be worn by you on patriotic days like the 4th of July, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and so forth. Stand ready for America wearing what Jay Santos himself wears, the Citizens Auxiliary Police uniform. Yeah!
Get the Citizens Auxiliary Police uniform by writing Poobah Productions, Post Office Box 12, Newcomb, Massachusetts.
This Jay Santos. You want to look like me and dress like me? Be an official Citizens Auxiliary Policeman just like me, or at least dress like one, on important patriotic holidays like the 4th of July, Veterans Day, and other days such as that? You want to? Do you? Well, then send away for your Citizens Auxiliary Police uniform. You get the pith helmet, the Bermuda shorts, and wingtips. You can look just like a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Yes, it can happen. It can be true, but send your money, and you better send it good.
Yes, send your money in good now to the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
And look like me, Jay Santos.
Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police. Ever ready, ever on the job. This is the Phil Hendry Show website.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome back here to our, you know, show here today. And more than anything, we're having the Jay Santos Show because Mr. Hendry has just returned from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And why do I bring that up? Well, I'll bring up for this reason. Mr. Hendry, went to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He is back in town. He will be taking over the controls of the Phil Hendry Show on Thursday. I want you to know that. But we're here because I requested the time from Mr. Hendry because I felt it was important with the COVID now reaching pandemic stages. It already had been a pandemic, but it's now reaching the full pandemic, I guess you'd call it, I don't know what the word is, but let's go ahead and, you know, give it a word. It's reaching the full pandemica, you know, the pandemica, I guess. I mean, that's how big it is. And Mr. Hendry is in the state of Florida, and guess which state is spiking in the COVID cases? Yeah, that's right, the state of Florida. I'd like to bring on now Dr. Jim Sadler of San Diego, California, to give us more insight and give us more of an update on the coronavirus and how it has mutated, how it's evolved, and also what risk Mr. Henry Meyer put himself through being in a state like the state of Florida. So bring on Dr. Jim Sadler in San Diego. Dr. Sadler, welcome to the Jay Sanders Show.
It's my pleasure, Jay. Thank you.
First of all, Dr. Sadler, Mr. Henry, let's talk about the risk he may have been in going down Florida.
Well, you're talking about Mr. Henry traveling to the state of Florida, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
I don't think, per se, he was in any risk. He should have been wearing a mask. He should not have been in any areas that were populated, overly populated with people. Certainly, there should be social distancing that is being observed.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about social distancing? What do you mean by that?
Of course. Social distancing is where you want to be away from someone, but not so far away from them that you're not, you know, you can't see, talk to them or anything like that, you know.
Well, is there a specific distance or anything?
I mean, I'm not sure. I don't think there is. There might be some. They might have kicked around some numbers. Social distancing, more than anything else, means just stay away from someone's whatever's coming off their body. You know, there's spittle, there's what's called spumum. There is.
Now, what is that spumum? I've never heard of that.
Well, it's like the liquid and the. It's just phlegm and whatever flies out of your nose, out of your mouth. It's a word that I made up, okay?
So you made that word up. That word doesn't exist?
It doesn't exist in the sense. No, not in the everyday conversation, but I did make it up and I submitted it to the New England Journal of Medicine. They rejected it, but you know what? Guess what? I'm still going to use it. You know?
So it's kind of your little kind of protest or whatever.
Yeah, you could say it's my protest, but here's the thing. Social distancing should be where you just are staying away. Like if you're having dinner with your girlfriend, you want her to be at the other end of the table, and you lean back in your chair and maybe have your hand up when she talks to catch any of the spumum. You see what I'm saying?
So the hand is up in the air in case any of this spumum, which you call her phlegm, up.
Yeah, a phlegm, a spittle. I just want an all-encompassing word is spumum.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that word yet.
It's like spoonum, only it's spelled S-P-O-O-M-E. MMM, you know, like...
Spoomamim.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, okay, so...
I didn't come on the program to be mocked. I know it sounds ridiculous.
I'm not trying to mock you. I'm trying to get the word right. So if I'm sitting at dinner with my wife in a restaurant...
If you're with your wife in a restaurant, you're pretty hard up. I'm only kidding. It's just a little joke that...
Can we be serious here, Doctor?
Of course I'm being serious.
All right. It is a very serious topic.
It is absolutely a serious topic. I tried to throw a laugh in. Forgive me, I won't do it again. I'll never do it again.
I'm not saying don't ever do it again.
No, it's okay.
Dr. Jim Sadler from San Diego here on the Jay Sanders program telling us about social distancing. We've never really had a definition of that. So give it to me again, will you, Doc?
All right. Social distancing, it's not really hard and fast. They said... You're supposed to be so many feet. I don't know what it is exactly. But the more important thing is you just, if you're having dinner with your wife or girlfriend, have her at the other end of the table, lean back in your chair, and have your hand up in front of your face in case she's talking to you. And women can get very animate when they're talking to you because they haven't seen you all week, you know, and they'll say, oh, here's something else that happened. Here's something else that happened.
Well, I don't want to start, you know, characterizing my wife. She's going to start, might get a little mad or something.
Okay, well... You know, you run your house your way, I'll run my house mine. But my point is...
Whatever that means.
Well, all right. My point is, if she's talking, hey, yeah, you're catching all the spoonum and the spume.
I understand what you're saying.
Right. And if you want to go dancing with her, and let's say you want to slow dance. It seems ridiculous, but I've had this question, and there is a way to slow dance during social distancing. You have your hands out in front of you, she has her hands out in front of her, and you act as if you're touching, but you're not. Let's say you should be several feet away, I don't know, 2 feet or one. Your hands can't touch.
If I'm slow dancing with my wife, I have my hands out in front.
Your hands are out in front, and you just, like, I'll hum the melody. It'll be something like, da 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 da. And you're moving about the floor. I don't know how else.
Well, how many couples can you get on a dance floor?
You can get a few couples out on the dance floor, I think, to slow dance, yeah. But just don't touch her, but you have your arms out, and you shake your rear end. You know, I don't mean to be that, but that's how you do it.
All right, so if, for instance, I'm doing a ballroom dance.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And you're pretending like you're holding her, only she's several feet away.
I have Dr. Jim Sadler, and she's been...
She?
Excuse me, Doctor. Dr. Jim Sadler, he has...
What did he mean by she?
Nothing, it was a mistake. I did it again. I'm sorry, Dr. Sadler. Dr. Jim Sadler has been our guest here explaining social distancing, what he calls spoonum.
This guy.
Dr. Sadler, forgive me. Say that again. All right, well, I think he hung up. But I want to say thank you very much to Dr. Jim Sadler for being on our show today.
For being on the Jay Santos Show, Dr. Jim Sadler of San Diego, California, wins himself an official Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt that says Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police, Honorary Subcommander, right on it. Yes, you too can walk alongside Jay on his many patrols. It's part of Citizens Auxiliary Police Honorary Subcommander T-Shirt Week.
Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Thanks very much, and welcome back here on the Citizens Auxiliary Police Report. There's a lot of Citizens Auxiliary Police Sister units that we have. We have the Oregon Beaver Brigade. We have the Florida Gator Bait Brigade, New York Simulated Police. We have the West Texas Range Riders. And we also have now the New Mexico Sub-Detective Tactical Squad. Auxiliary, sub-detective auxiliary, because you're supposed to have something in there that says they're not official. Yeah, let me get Detective Grimsby on here. Detective Grimsby, hi. Jay Santa, Citizens Auxiliary Police. So what, tell me about the New Mexico Sub-Detective Tactical Squad, or whatever you guys call it. Do you have an official name yet?
No, we don't just yet, but we are hopeful in the next several days to have one. We were inspired by you, Jay, and the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We said, that looks pretty good. And I confess that we organized ourselves before we knew what we were going to be the name of, or knew what we wanted to be the name of us is, or what the name of...
No, I understand what you're saying. Now, were you guys involved in some Black Lives Matter situation?
Well, we saw some Black Lives Matter people at approximately 0100 on Monday morning. And there was a statue of a man who's very much revered in New Mexico by the name of General Nathan Keene. Nathan Keene was a native of New Mexico and fought for the Confederacy in the Civil War. He owned slaves? Yes, he did. And he was known, in fact, to have tortured several almost to death. He was also put up for a number of different charges having to do with sedition and treason following the Civil War, as he continued to conduct the terrorizing now freed black people throughout the South. He did a lot of wretched and despicable things, there's no question, but he was a general and he was on a horse. You know,
It was hard to watch the statue get pulled down.
It was very hard to have the statue, and he had the hat and a sword. And it said, General, I'm not familiar with how these things go, but I decided, I said, boys, let's as our first official act.
So the first official act of the New Mexico Sub-Detective Squad Tactical Unit was to stop these guys from pulling the statue down.
Well, you might say, as a joke, in fact, we laughed about it later on, our first official act was to keep these guys from pulling it. You know, as in...
Yeah, I get the joke, so... But point being...
Yeah, the point being is we attempted to interdict. And they said, well, why are you doing that? You know that this Nathan Keene was every bit the most disgusting man that ever walked or crawled on the face of the earth. And I said, that's got nothing to do with it. It's a statue to honor the Southern, heroes and everything. I know they lost the war. I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, you read that they lost the war and the North won, and a lot of these statues of these guys. You said this guy is a slave owner, and he tortured a lot of them almost to death.
He tortured slaves too. Yeah, and then he went out and shot a few after the war ended and he realized they were free. He couldn't take the sight of a free black man walking down the road, so he just go up to the guy and shoot him. And I realize that's bad.
You find it's difficult for you to defend this guy. Why would you want them to keep a statue up?
Because that's not... I want our traditions to be honored. And so when I saw these Black Lives Matter punks trying to pull down the statue of Nathan Kane, I said, okay, let's go for it.
Now, were you successful in stopping them?
We were not successful, no. I will tell you straight up that our tactical squad, we were beaten up by several of the Black Lives Matter people, kicked in the pants and pushed out of the perimeter of the area and told to go home and peddle our papers. One of our guys started to cry, and I said, just go home. And I told him to give me back his hat and his badge. So
you had to give. He gave it back because he was crying?
Because he cried. I said, give me back the badge and the hat. You're going to stand there and cry. And I just told the rest of the guys to just get out of my sight, go home.
Well, does the New Mexico detective...
It's the New Mexico Detective Squad or something. And yes, we still exist, but I'm going to have to get some new guys because these other guys started crying and they just went off and got... The last I saw, they were all caravanning to McDonald's.
Did they invite you?
No, they did not. No, they did not. I went home.
I know it's painful.
It's all right. I went home and thought on it. And I realized I don't want any peace with these guys. They can all...
It's a tough thing having a auxiliary police force. No question, is it?
Yeah, it is. It's tough, but...
All right, well, listen, sir, I'm going to let you go. Thank you very much for being on the show today. That is Detective Grimsby there, or the New Mexico Detective Squad, Simulated Squad or something. They have a name, but they try to stop a bunch of Black Lives Matter people from pulling down a statue, and they got beat up and told to go. So I think, you know, a lot of these Citizens Auxiliary Police, you know, groups, a lot of these different groups that are pop up around the country because they've seen the success that we've had. I think you have to have some training before you get into it. Otherwise, he said a couple guys started to cry and they went home and then they caravaned to McDonald's.
Jay Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police will be right back.
This is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Do you know where your kids are right now? Okay, just checking. That was a very popular one back in the day. They used to say, you know, it's 10 o'clock in Los Angeles or wherever I come from. Originally, I come from Baltimore, Maryland. But when we did move out to California, I would see this on television, on a local television TV station. They say, it's 10 o'clock at night. Do you know where your kid is? I think that's a really good question. And I would go and I'd see my kids in bed, or I'd see that my son is, suddenly I'd see it, well, he's right next to me watching TV, and that would be always kind of, wow, you know, why didn't I already know that, see, and that made me, and then another time I realized that my son was visiting his grandparents back in Baltimore, and he wasn't there, because I went into a panic. My wife said, what's wrong? I said, where is our son? And I'll never forget the fear. I'm thinking about it right now. The fear that I had when they said, it's 10 o'clock in the city of Los Angeles. Do you know where your kids are? And I went, oh my God, I don't know where's my son? And my wife said, he's on vacation. He's with Grandma Epps and Grandma Amps. And I said, and it came out of my mouth. I didn't mean it to come out of my mouth. I said, well, I'll be double fucked and dipped. And I felt a thwack. And I looked down, my wife kicked me right in the balls. Back at a time when women could do that, you know. And you hear a lot of the guys who call this show, you'll hear their wives are stabbing them with, you know, ballpoint pens and stuff like that. This is old school here. Jay Santos and Citizens Auxiliary Police. This is all old school. Everything we do here is old school all the way. And I like that. I like a lot. All right, it's time now for Sub-Commander Gleason's trip around the neighborhood. Brought to you by Speckles Paint and Bravo Sodas. Sub-Commander Gleason.
I saw a house that was had a like someone took a dump on the porch, or no, I know, I'm sorry.
It was in a bag.
Yeah, they took a dump in a bag and lit it on fire. They lit it on fire right there on the porch.
And then you?
And then I turned the hose on, I put it out.
Very good, and that's?
And that's what I did at
your address.
222 Epson Block in the city of Torrance.
Next one.
And another, then I went, I kept walking along, and I saw a guy, and he was wearing what looked like...
Like Speedos.
Like Speedos. And you could see his testicles very clearly. And so I said, that's against the rules.
Against the law.
Against the law. And I wrote him a ticket, which he took and he tore up and he wiped on his crotch.
That's when a three-step
takedown. And that's when I done a three-step takedown on him. I bent around behind him and I pushed him down. And he complained, but we got him into the radio car. Me and Sub-Commander Slidell. And Nickelbees.
And put them to the substation.
And we booked them at the substation.
Next one.
And the next one was, I heard a lady talking real loud about who she liked for President of the United States. And it was upsetting to people.
Where were you?
And it was at the Cheesecake Factory on La Pamela. And she was talking loud about what she thought about President of the, you know, the United States. And I said, okay, that's, you know... That's all she wrote, and I gave her the official word, we're the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and now at this time I got to ask you to shut your mouth and don't talk. And she said, who are you? And she called me queer. She said I looked like a fairy in wingtips with the queer pith helmet. She said I looked like a queer.
And so
I placed her under arrest. And official detainment, which I'm not allowed to do. I said, you're under arrest. She said, well, I'm not going to go with you. And I said, ha-ha, I'm not going to take you nowhere. I just said you're under arrest.
But you're not really.
But you're not really. And she goes, what? Like that. And that was very funny.
This has been Sub-Commander Gleason, a trip around the block for the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
I'm Sub-Commander Gleason. If you have knowledge of a crime being committed, be sure to tell me of the Citizens Auxiliary Police about it.
All right, Sub-Commander Gleason, very good. Sub-Commander Gleason came to us some 2 years after the formation of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. He and his sister Janelle live about a block down right off of Wyckoff in the first subdivision, and very close neighbors of mine, and we've got to know each other, and I realized that he didn't have all of his motor skills. He was a little kind of messed up in the head. I don't know what happened to him, but I talked to his sister, who is his official guardian, her and her husband, they live there too, and she said, she kind of shrugged and put her hands up in the air and said, I'll tell you for enough money. And I said, well, you know, wow, you know, woo. All right, Jay Santa, Citizens Auxiliary Police here, back with you. I want to talk a little bit about Mr. Henry's trip to Florida. And, you know, everything that he did and everything he did and he did there. I'm a little bit nervous because I've never interviewed Mr. Henry before on the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police. I understand he's taking a bath. If Mr. Henry, yeah. Mr. Henry, you there? It's Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Hold on, Jay. Just getting some water here. I'm sorry. Okay. Is that music?
Yeah, we've got to turn the music down. So, Mr. Henry, you were in Florida, huh?
Yeah, I was.
And can you tell me where you were? And, you know, I want to ask you...
We were in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. We stayed at the Pillars Hotel. And
the Pillars Hotel is on Birch. It's off of the Intercoastal Canal?
Yes, sir.
Did you wear masks and did you take precautions?
Yeah, we wore masks.
The reason why I'm asking is Florida had a spike in cases.
No, we read about it while we were in Florida, so...
So you knew there was a spike in COVID cases down there?
Yeah.
And, okay, so go ahead.
So we wore masks, you know, when we went to the store, and basically what we did, we were at the hotel there, which was in walking distance of the Fort Lauderdale Beach. We went over to the CVS, we bought some, you know, like popcorn and, you know, crap, And
well, did you go on a beach or anything?
No, man. We hung out in the hotel. And
you just stayed in the hotel.
Yeah, because we were the only, at one point, we were the only couple in the hotel, Jackie and I. So we had the whole hotel to ourselves. We had the whole pool to ourselves. So there was no reason for us to.
So you didn't even go. Huh? I don't understand.
We were in Florida, right?
Yeah.
And we went to the Pillars Hotel in Fort Lauderdale. And it went, we stayed for 4 days for Jackie's birthday. Her son and his girlfriend, her son Ryan, his girlfriend Stassi, and Jackie and I had dinner there at the Pillars Hotel. But the other days that we were there, Jackie and I just swam in the pool and ate food that we bought, like, you know, kettle corn and stuff like that, and ice cream.
So you're like eating food you bought at CVS?
Yeah, and snack food, crap like that. Or we went and we got Uber Eats one day, and that was fantastic.
You got Uber? You was it?
Uber, stay with me, man.
All right, Mr. I'm sorry. You got Uber Eats?
Yeah, we got Uber Eats from a place called the Beehive Kitchen in Fort Lauderdale. It was fantastic. It was like vegan food, but we just hung out there. So we did not.
So you were not around a lot of people other than when you went over to the CVS. And where else you go?
And we went to the Haagen-Dazs.
And you went to the Haagen-Dazs ice cream parlor there on Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale, okay. All right, and do you have any COVID?
No, I don't, man. You mean, no, symptoms?
Yeah, you have any COVID symptoms at all?
What?
Do you have any?
No, I don't have any COVID symptoms, no.
All right, Phil Henry, folks, from the Phil Henry Show, and he doesn't have COVID.
Jay Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One.
I'm Jay Santos, reminding you that we're here to save lives. And we're going to be back out at it as soon as it's not quite as hairy as it is right now. It's kind of hairy right now, and it's kind of scary. It scares me. I mean, I'm not afraid. I'm not really afraid, but I am sort of afraid.